This morning, and we are in the book of Revelation. So if you would turn to Matthew. Matthew 16. I'm going to read some verses from different books in hopes that it gives us some understanding of 18 of Revelation, which is where we're at this point. Now, 17, 18, and 19 is about starts with a D. What?
Demolition, destruction, and
2 out of 3. 2 out of 3, bad. That's a song now.
Dismantling.
Dismantling.
Yes. It's all about Babylon. Now, Babylon was, and I say was because there is no Babylon today. You find ruins, but you won't find Babylon. Now, some believe that Babylon's going to be rebuilt. I don't know. But I do know that there's two cities mentioned in the Bible spiritually. There's Babylon, and there's New Jerusalem, or Jerusalem. Now, I do know that Jerusalem belongs to God and the children of God. I do know that Babylon belongs to Satan and the children of Satan. Now, I will tell you this. You can't live in Jerusalem and visit Babylon every now and then. You can't live in Babylon and just visit Jerusalem every now and then. I sent out a message alert this week, not to Nick. He don't ever respond to my message alert. Well, you don't preach.
You didn't say just to preach.
Well, honey, it's sort of, yeah, I did. But anyway, I sent it out, and I said this. You can't be in two places at once. I want you to think about that. You can't be in two places at once. In Matthew chapter 16, I'm just going to read three verses there. In verse 24, he says this. Then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me. In other words, if you're going to follow me, there's a criteria for that. The criteria for that is, let him deny himself. Now, what do you think that means to deny yourself? I'll go over here. Lynn seems to be paying attention. What do you think, Lynn, when it says deny yourself?
Lean not on your own understanding.
Well, that's not a bad way of saying that. Let me ask you this. What if I took out deny and put rely? You go. You can't rely on yourself. So you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to come to that place in your life that you realize who you are is not, I don't mean to point at you. I realize they taught me early, don't point, but it's just my method. If you can't rely on yourself, that must mean that you're not good enough. Right? So what he's saying is, if you're going to follow me, you first have to realize you ain't good enough to follow me. You can't just wake up one morning and say, well, I think I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. Now, I hear a lot of that. Hey, I hear a lot of that. You know, that general sort of term. But remember, You can't be in two places at once. You all think I'm nuts sometimes. But everything I say has a meaning. So he says, if you're going to follow me, first realize that you got to deny yourself and take up your and. Now, why would he say, take up your cross? I know what the world says. Oh, you wouldn't believe this cross I bear. Huh? Well, to me, to take up the cross, if you've denied yourself, next you got to sacrifice yourself.
No, I said rely.
No, that was on the other one.
Oh.
We jumped now. That's okay. Hey, she took her medicine, didn't she? Took her medicine. They sent me a picture of her toboggan, you know. Yeah, I had a friend one time, you know, Darcy said this. He said, you know, you can think a good thought with a bucket on your head. So I bet you were thinking good thoughts with your toboggan on your head. So he says, if you're going to follow me, first realize you're not good enough, and then be willing to kill yourself. Mm-hmm. Not literally. Not talking about suicide now. We're talking about spiritually. You got to be willing to kill yourself. Because self ain't good enough. Self's never going to be good enough. I'm going to show y'all this. Hey, it'll come together. You'll say, oh my goodness, I see that now. You know, I had somebody tell me they was reading Revelation this week. I said, me too.
We appreciate it.
For whosoever... Well, I don't reckon that's going to leave out anybody, is it? If you're a whosoever, raise your hand. For whosoever will... Oh, wasn't that what I just said? You got to be willing to kill yourself. Well, if you ain't willing to kill yourself, that means you're trying to save yourself. And if you try to save yourself, you're trying to save yourself spiritually. Let's see if it works. Let's see if it works. For whosoever will save his life shall... What did I start off by saying? What was the message alert? You can't be in two places at once now. You can't save your life and keep your life. Jesus says you can't. You might say you can. The world might tell you can. Some preachers might tell you can. But Jesus says you can't be in two places at once. He says you will either hate the one and love the other, or you will love the one and hate the other. He says, and whosoever will be willing to kill yourself, be willing to say, I'm unrighteous, I'm unholy, I'm ungodly, I'm not worthy. What would that make anybody do? What would that make anybody do if you come to that realization? Well, yeah, go back here. I got somebody in the corner that's trying to help me, and I'm going back here and talk to him. So, you were saying, you got to figure out, right? If you're not holy, how I can get holy. If I'm not righteous, how I can get righteous. And if I'm not godly, how I can get godly. Because those three criteria are the only way you'll ever see God. That's what he's talking about, folks. He's talking about salvation here. He's talking about what it takes to be saved. You know, and don't get this wrong. It's just my thoughts. I'm not teaching this. This is my thoughts. I'm entitled to some of them. Some of them I shouldn't be. I never have put much stock in someone coming down the aisle to be saved, chewing chewing gum. Hey, that's just me. Because you would think that you'd be burdened some way wanting rid of it. You'd be, it just seems to me that you'd be without joy wanting it, without peace trying to find it. And that's a pretty heavy burden. I don't care what. Just ask Lynn's friend if that's not a heavy burden. So he says, if you, whosoever shall lose his life for, hey, this is pretty plain. Anybody can follow this. If you're doing it from, you can't get saved to help yourself, folks. These people that come on TV and talk about, oh, but if you'll come to Jesus, your life's going to be great. That ain't why you come to Jesus. You come for His sake. He's the Holy One. It hurts Him when we're unholy. He's the righteous one. It hurts Him when we're unrighteous. And I'm telling you right now, if it wasn't for His love and grace and mercy, bless God, He could kill us all. But for His sake, you know, there's a verse in the Bible that says that when we repent to God, that God, for His sake, His Son, His sake forgives you. So don't ever get this idea that you're getting saved for your own self. You're getting saved because it's an affront to God not to. That's what he's saying. So let's see if that works out. He says, for what shall it profit, or what shall it be worth? I'll put that in there. For what shall it be worth if he, the one who was not willing to do that, shall gain or win the whole, oh my goodness. Now what have we done right there? Huh? Well, see, I got somebody wanting to help me, so I got to go to people that want me to help them. What he's doing there, he's placing a value on something. Isn't he? Huh? Listen, he's saying here, I want to show you why it's worth killing yourself for. Because if you should gain the whole world, folks, that's a lot.
That's a lot.
I mean, you know, I realize, you know, what's that, Elon Musk, worth $190 billion, richest man in the world. Do about anything he wants to do. Send rockets up in the air, make cars that drive themselves, and now he's put chips in people's brains that can help them, you know, with infirmities and stuff. Boy, he's got a lot with that money, hasn't he? Well, let him take his last breath and see what it's worth to him. See if God's impressed by his wealth. Because this verse says, what will it profit you if you should gain the whole world and lose your soul? So what's he done there? What's he done? Huh? He's put a value on what? On your soul. What you're going to gain, Dwayne, by killing yourself and giving up yourself and not relying on yourself is worth more than everything in this world. That's pretty valuable, I would say. You know, there's a parable in the Bible that I'll help you too. There's a parable in the Bible that talks about the pearl of great price. And what was the man willing to do? He went and sold everything he had to get it. He found a field with a treasure in it. And he wanted the treasure so bad, he sold everything he had to get it. That's the idea. That's the idea. That's why he says, what shall it profit you if you should gain the whole world, everything in it, every dime in it, every piece of gold? Who was it sent me a text this week? I apologize, whoever it was. I didn't respond. I didn't see it till this morning. Asked me what I thought about buying gold. If you've got enough money, buy some. If you ain't, don't. That's all I can tell you. Whoever that was, I won't.
It was me.
Oh, it was you?
It was me.
It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. Well, you know, I will say this. I'll digress for just a moment, and then I'm getting back, since we're talking about wealth and stuff. Gold was what this country used to be valued on. We didn't spend a dime, we didn't make a dollar that we couldn't back up with gold. And then we got the bright idea. Oh, we don't have enough gold. We got to get off that so we can print more. Well, how has that worked out? And here's how you know if you should buy gold. If the dollar is deflating, you need to buy gold. And you need to not buy all gold. You need a balance. You need a little gold here, a little silver there, and some money over here. That's my financial help for the day, and I'm moving on now. For what is a man profit if he shall lose the whole world and gain his own soul, lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for soul? Why did he finish like that? Why did he finish like that? Somebody help me. I'll help you if you'll help me. Well, he says, or what would a man give in exchange for his
soul? Your soul's worth more than the whole world.
Well, he's done said that. Here he's finishing up by saying, for what shall a man give in exchange for it? What does that tell you? That here's what that tells you. Listen, I love it. I love y'all helping me. I do. Here's what it means. What you say? You can't. Well, here's what it means, honey. There's coming a time when your soul will be required of you. Then what will you give? All he asked you to do was give yourself up. If you gain the whole world and it comes that day, that time, that hour, that minute when you need to have soul, there's nothing you can give. There's nothing that you can give. You must have already done it. And that means that you gave up yourself. You didn't rely on yourself. You relied on God. And then you're okay. Now look, if you will, at Luke 20. Luke 20 something. I'll know it when I get there. Just go to 20 something. You'll be close. Whatever 20 something is. You know, 20 something could be 1 through 9. I guess. I know what page it's on, so. Okay, here we go. Luke 21. Now in Luke 21, in verse 25, he's talking about the end time, right? You get that? That's what we're talking about, right? In Revelation, the end time, right? It's over. It's done. Kaput. So here's what he says. Verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun. We've seen that. And in the moon. We've seen that. See, here it says, and there shall be. In Revelation, it's a happening. Remember that? Okay. And in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations and perplexity of the sea and waves. In other words, this place is going to be a mess. You say, well, it's already a mess. Oh, it's going to get messier. Perilous times have come and they're going to get worse, not better. Men's hearts failing them for You've heard that old saying, that scared me to death. That's going to be literal. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then and lift up your, for your redemption. And he spake to them a parable. Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, you see and know your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. Not the groundhog. God give us signs, know when spring's coming, summer's coming. Not the groundhog. I always like to see when the groundhog says it's going to be a early spring, don't you? Very seldom ever happens, though. Groundhog don't know a thing. And when they now shoot forth and you see and know your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand, so likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all this be fulfilled. So let's assume, for the sake of my argument, that this morning at 10:26, we see these things starting to happen. What should we be doing? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you can't be looking up and looking down at the same time. You thought I'd forgot my little start, didn't you? You can't be in two places at once and you can't do two things at once. You can't look up and look down at the same time. I defy anyone to try it. You're either looking up or you're looking down. You can't do both. So here's what he says. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words won't. So what does that tell you? You better be looking up. It's going to be just like he says. But here's what he says now. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be... I'm going to give you some... If y'all make notes in your Bible, just put too heavy. Too heavy. Yeah. At with surfeiting. Debauchery. Well, anyone in here knows that's not a good term, right? I mean, you know, we don't go around with a smile on our face saying, you know, I'm a debauchery person. What he's saying is this, Jimmy. You can't be looking up and have the cares of this world at the same time. That's looking down. You can't be so tied to this world, to your family, to your friends, to your wealth, to your house, to your car, to anything, anything. You can't be so tied to that that you can't be looking up. Because if that's the case, you didn't kill yourself. You say, Tom, I don't know about that. You stay with me, you'll know about it. See, I didn't just read Revelation this week. I read some other places. Amazing what you can find in here. And drunkenness and cares of this life. Y'all thought I made that up. So that that day come upon you. Well, let me put it this way. So that that day come upon you and you're looking down. For as a snare. Now, there's not a person in this room that doesn't know another word for snare. That starts with a T. Trap. And I made a little note out to the right of my... I got notes all through this thing. I want to start it. Get me... I got a new Bible. Brand new, just like this. And I want to break it out. But I can't. Because I want to keep making notes. I put death trap. It's not just a trap, folks. I mean, I watch it. Anybody watch a TV show about Alaska? You know, where they trap up there, you know, trap things. They trap these little animals for fur. Oh, no. That's how they make a living. Now, they don't do it because they, you know, get joy out of it. Matter of fact, after when they do it, they sort of pray over, you know, and thank the Creator for the animal. But they do it for a living. That's why they do it. But they're so kind in their hearts towards that animal that they want to make sure that the little animal don't suffer. So they make that trap to when it snaps, it's instant. Well, that's what it's talking about here. That's what it's talking about. You can get yourself caught in the death trap. Remember that word instant, it might come back. And as a snare shall it come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Now, wait a minute. Is there a problem there? Listen, throughout Scripture, I promise you, the Bible talks about those that dwell upon the earth. It's talking about unsaved, ungodly people. They dwell on the earth. Why, Lynn? Okay. That's okay. That's all right. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to find somebody that knows. Wait a minute. Huh? Well, because, remember he said the cares of this, they've not killed themselves. They're tied to this world. Well, if you're tied to this world, who else are you tied to? And I said who for a reason. Satan. Because, see, the world is Satan's. You say, no, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness. I get that. But you do know that he's the prince and the power of the air. He's over this world. He's your daddy if you're an earth dweller. It's scriptural, folks. He's your daddy. And I will tell you this. You can't be his child. And God's child can't be in two places at once. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye be accounted. That word worthy there means entirely deserving. Entirely deserving. Anybody pick up on that? Entirely deserving. So it goes back to the first part. If you're going to follow him, what do you have to do? Deny yourself and kill yourself, and then and only then are you entirely deserving. You'll never deserve God. You'll never deserve life. You'll never deserve heaven on your own. Won't happen. And he says this. He says, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be counted worthy, entirely deserving. And what? And what? Escape. If you're not entirely deserving, you will not escape. These things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man, Christ. Anybody remember Romans chapter 12? Verse 1 and 2. If you do, raise your hand. I see somebody back there. Oh, I think I do. Well, here's what it says. Now, I'll just help you in that way. You'll know it. How's that? Paul says, I beseech you. Now, listen. The word beseech means plead or beg. You know, when somebody's begging you, they really want it for you, right? Huh? Well, sure. I mean, no one would humble themselves to beg unless they really wanted you to get it. So he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the
mercies of God.
I knew you'd get it. I knew you knew that. That you what?
Present your bodies a living sacrifice.
Oh, there's that word. But now it's different, isn't it? You've presented yourself in sacrifice for salvation. But now he's wanting you to sacrifice yourself for service. So he says, I beg you, I plead with you, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Well, let me ask you this. This is just so simple. Even the worst person in here can answer it. So I won't ask them. How in the world could you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God? I got to go back here because they just mumble. They don't speak up. Honey. Well, that's sort of right. And that you're sort of on track. But you can't present yourself acceptable unto God without Christ. See, there, you can't just say, I'm going to live right. And that way I can present myself. No, no. He says, if you're going to serve me first, you got to be saved, right? You got to kill yourself, right? Now we're in service. So now the only way I can serve God is through Christ. So he says, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable. Now, I'm going to give it to you in the literal translation. In your reasonable service of worship. So when you come in here on Sunday morning to worship, do you not realize that you have had to have sacrificed yourself before you come, or it's not acceptable? We can't come in here, and I say this over and over. And listen, I don't point it at you. Let me do that. I prayed it on the way here this morning. God, don't let me walk through those doors with baggage. Don't let me walk through those doors with unconfessed sin. Because then I've not sacrificed. And it's not acceptable. And it won't be worship. And I'm not serving. But then he says this, and it gets to where I want to go. I can't get to where I want to go. I just go so slow. But be ye not conformed to this world. But be ye
transformed.
Now the word conformed, it means to be molded. Let me say it to you in my old Irwin way. Don't look like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't talk like the world. But be ye transformed. Changed. Why does he say that? He's clearly talking to his children, right? He's clear. I mean, there's no doubt about who he's talking to here. Why would he say that? Well, what does it mean to be transformed, honey? Start with a C, next letter's H.
Changed.
I knew you'd get it. He says, don't be molded like the world. Be changed into me. Be transformed, how? By the renewing. Now the mind there. If you want to substitute a word, it's okay. It won't hurt one thing. Your heart. Your inner being. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your heart. How do you do that, Jimmy? How do you do that? You don't have to answer. That's okay. That was rhetorical. Where's my computer guy? I cried out loud. I had a question for him. John, you a computer guy? See, he can't answer. Anybody in here a computer guy? Or girl? Anybody know anything about a computer? Oh, Susie, come on. You're a whiz at it. You and Amy. Well, let me ask you this. This is pretty simple. I think the worst person in here could get this, and I won't ask them. What do you get out of a computer?
What you put in.
Listen, somebody had to put it in there. You know, the computer didn't wake up one morning and start thinking on its own, typing on its own, putting that stuff in there, and then holler out for you to come and get it. That's what you do when you're having pancakes, right? Come and get it. Somebody even had to fix them, didn't they, Jimmy? If you want your heart, your mind, your soul transformed, you better start putting in there what you should. Because if you're acting, talking, and looking like the world, I can tell you right now, you know what's going to come out of your little computer? The world. The world. Now, look, if you will, at Colossians. I'm going quick now. I'm running out of time. Why'd I run out of time? Okay, Colossians, here's what he says. Chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, what would that tell you in relation to what we started out saying? Here you go, son. If you've sacrificed and given your life up and you're not relying on yourself and you're saved, he says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are. Why? Well, because that causes you to. Well, you can't seek for something you ain't looking for. Right? I mean, we were talking, my wife and I were talking yesterday. We used to have Miss Kitty. Anybody remember Miss Kitty? Oh, I loved Miss Kitty. Oh, Lord, that was my baby. Oh, God, I loved Miss Kitty. And one day, Mim had this brand new red thing that goes across the bed, whatever that is. Anyway, not a throw, but you know, she made the bed pretty and everything. Well, I walked up there, and there was Miss Kitty right in the middle. Everything you put down new, Miss Kitty's going to get on it. Because she wanted you to know, hey, this is my house too. I took her picture. And my wife and I were talking Saturday morning, and I said, honey, where's that picture of Miss Kitty on the red thing? And she said, I don't know. I said, I think it's upstairs in that bookshelf. So upstairs I went. All it was up there was Dan and motorcycles and everything else. I couldn't find her. You know what we'll have to do to find that picture? Seek for it. It's not just going to magically appear. I want that picture. I want it displayed. We're going to have to seek for it. Listen, if you want your life to display what Christ, then you're going to have to seek it. He says, if you seek me, you shall find me. So anyway, he goes on and says, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Look to God. Look to Christ. Look homeward and heavenward. And then he says, set your. Now, you remember the word that I gave you just in Romans? You know, be ye transformed by the renewing of your. Guess what? That's where affections come from. Listen, if my affection for you don't come from here, it ain't worth 5 cents to you. Because it won't move me to help you when you need help. It won't move me to pray for you when you need prayer. So he says, set your affections on things. Why? Listen, you got to keep looking up. And you can't look up and look down at the same time. Just can't happen, Lynn. Because when you look down, you're not looking up. Not on things on the... If you'll follow this, not today, but I promise you, this will get so clear to you, it won't even be funny. For ye are... And your life is hid with... You killed yourself. And when you did, I put you... Lord, maybe y'all ain't picking this up. I am. I put you in the safest place, bless God, you could ever be. Here's the idea. And then I'll quit. Here's the idea. I used to have these cups, you know, these little styrofoam cups, and I'd make this illustration. On one, I wrote God. On the other one, I wrote Christ. And on the other one, I wrote me. So I took me, and I put me in Christ. Now, I said, well, now if Satan's going to get to me, he's got to go through Christ. Now, that'd be good, wouldn't it? Hey, that'd be pretty sound, wouldn't it? But then I took that other cup and I set it down in God. And you know what, brother? That verse come to me like a shotgun. Who shall lay anything to the elect of God? For Satan to get to me, maybe y'all ain't getting this, I am, bless God, I'm about to shout. For Satan to get to old Tommy boy, he's got to go through Christ. Then he's got to go through God. And he can't get through either one of them, so he ain't going to get to. Because greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. Bless God, that's why he says, don't get your mind, don't get your eyes, don't get your head down on the world. Keep it looking up towards me. Amen. I'm going to quit. I'll start there next week. Well, I got more, but I ain't got time to get to it. I'll get right in the middle of it, and you'll say, well, what happened? I'll say, well, you'll have to come back next week.